Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for In the News and American Stories, coming up after As It Is.
Hello again, and welcome to As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans in Washington. Today on the program, we have two stories related to politics in both India and Burundi. First, India's ruling Bharatiya Janata Party, or BJP, and the People's Democratic Party, or PDP, have created a coalition government to rule Kashmir state. It is the first time the BJP has had a part in governing India's only Muslim-majority area. Christopher Cruz has more.
I will uphold the sovereignty and integrity of India.
The swearing-in of the new government took place in the state's winter capital, Jammu. Mufti Mohammed Saeed of the People's Democratic Party took the oath as Kashmir's chief minister. Nirmal Singh from the Bharatiya Janata Party was sworn in as his deputy. Prime Minister Narendra Modi attended the historic ceremony to watch a member of his party become, for the first time, one of the state's top governing officials. Until now, the BJP has not had much political power in Jammu and Kashmir. India and Pakistan have had a long dispute about which country the area belongs to. Anti-India feelings are strong in the state. The two parties negotiated for weeks to build an alliance after mixed results in November elections. The PDP won in the Muslim-majority Kashmir Valley. The BJP received huge support in the Hindu-majority Jammu area. The two parties have settled some differences, but they agreed to disagree on their more complex differences. Chief Minister Saeed described it as the coming together of the North Pole and the South Pole. Satish Misra is a researcher at the Observer Research Foundation in New Delhi. She says the alliance between the two parties could help Kashmir become integrated with the rest of the country. She says the BJP will have to become more moderate in its political positions if it is to grow its influence in the Kashmir Valley. The BJP eased its opposition to a constitutional measure that would give Kashmir self-rule. The PDP eased its demand to cancel a very unpopular law that gives Indian soldiers wide powers to search and shoot people in the state. The new government says its top goal will be the state's development, but political observers say there is skepticism in Kashmir Valley about the BJP having a part in governing the state. Noor Ahmad Baba is a political science professor at Kashmir University. He says the skepticism is combined with hope. He says people believe the political alliance might speed up development of the mountainous area and its recovery from floods last year that caused severe damage. Soon after taking office, the new chief minister said peace was a condition for the state's development. He said he supports talks with Kashmiri separatists and a peace process with Pakistan.
We want to make this alliance a turning point in trying to meet hearts and minds of people.
Some observers say the fact that the BJP is now part of the governing coalition in Kashmir could mean there will be talks between the central government and Kashmiri separatists. Prime Minister Modi's government has opposed such efforts. I'm Christopher Cruz.
You are listening to As It Is from VOA Learning English. Burundi is facing unrest before its presidential election in June. People are questioning the right of President Pierre Nkurunziza to seek a third term. Mr. Nkurunziza has led the country since 2005. Kelly Jean Kelly reports.
Advisors, political observers, and Burundi's opposition party all say the president plans to seek re-election. The move is disputed because the constitution limits a president to 2 5-year terms. Mr. Nkurunziza was first elected to the presidency in 2005. His election was the result of a National Assembly vote, not a popular election. At the time, he was the only presidential candidate. In 2010, voters elected Mr. Nkurunziza to a second term after the opposition candidate left the race. Now, some observers say it may not be illegal for the president to seek a third term, but they say it might not be the right thing to do. John Manirakiza is from Burundi. He says no one should be able to serve for more than 10 years, whether or not the constitution allows a third term. He notes that the country is still arguing about a presidential candidate only 3 months before the election. That fact, he says, shows the country's politics are dysfunctional or unhealthy. Agathon Rwasa is the leading opposition candidate. He agrees Burundi's political situation is bad and may be getting worse. Recently, media reported large demonstrations in the country's capital. Isidore Intirampiba is with the Burundian embassy to the United States. He points out that President Nkurunziza did not choose to run in 2005. Instead, his party appointed him. And, Mr. Ntirambiba says, the president's party has not yet named a candidate for the 2015 election. The United Nations Security Council has commented on the situation. In a statement released last month, council members called for a free, fair, and peaceful election process. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow for another As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans. Thanks for listening.
In the News is next, followed by American Stories. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English. This is In the News. Israelis elected a new parliament this week. The results gave 30 seats in the 120-member parliament to the Likud party of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The Zionist Union finished second, winning 24 seats. A union of four Arab-led parties won 14 seats to become the third-largest group in Israel's parliament, the Knesset. Mr. Netanyahu has said he plans to form a government in the next 2 or 3 weeks. He said he already spoke with smaller parties on forming the 61-seat coalition he needs to govern. On Thursday, Zionist Union leader Isaac Herzog said his party will not join the coalition. In the United States, debate has begun over how the election results will affect U.S. relations with Israel. Differences on major issues have led to increased tensions between the countries. Earlier this month, Prime Minister Netanyahu traveled to Washington and spoke to a joint meeting of the U.S. Congress. His comments about nuclear negotiations with Iran angered the administration of President Barack Obama. He called a yet-to-be-announced agreement with Iran a bad deal. There are also tensions about the Middle East peace process. Earlier this week, Mr. Netanyahu said he would never support a Palestinian state. His comment came in the final hours of the election campaign. It appeared to overturn the position he had held as prime minister when Israelis and Palestinians held peace talks. Those negotiations eventually broke down. On Thursday, Mr. Netanyahu appeared to step away from that comment. He told American media he does not object to a demilitarized Palestinian state. But he said that creation of such a state is not possible at the current time. In the United States, lawmakers of the two major parties have congratulated Israel on the elections. But there was a striking difference in public statements between Republicans and Democrats. The Speaker of the House of Representatives, John Boehner, was satisfied with the election results. "Heartfelt congratulations to Netanyahu," he wrote on Twitter. Another Republican, Utah Senator Orrin Hatch, made clear he was cheering for Mr. Netanyahu, or, as he calls him, Bibi.
Bibi is one of the strongest people I've seen in the world. So you got to give him a lot of credit for winning that election, and personally I believe that's in the best interest of Israel, and I'm glad they made that choice.
But many Democrats seemed to avoid discussion of Mr. Netanyahu at all. Pennsylvania Senator Bob Casey described the ties between the United States and Israel as unbreakable.
We're going to be not only supportive of Israel's security, but also reaffirming the values that bring our countries together. So that's ensured, I think, no matter what happens in any election.
Another Democrat, Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, had a similarly measured reaction.
I'm looking forward to continuing to work with Prime Minister Netanyahu in seeking peace in the Middle East.
Neri Zilber is with the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. He says the United States may continue having problems with Mr. Netanyahu's way of doing things. But he expects a continued U.S. push for its policy objectives in Israel. In his words, the U.S. will likely put forward its own idea with respect to what a negotiated final status agreement looks like, whether Mr. Netanyahu and the Israeli government like it or not. And that's In the News from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Jones-Cruz.